You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. I've had the great privilege twice now to visit the Holy Land. And among the things that were most memorable, along with, of course, visiting the holy sites, swimming in the Dead Sea, riding on a camel, one of the most amazing things for me was simply pondering how old everything was. Because in our country, if something is several hundred years old, it's a big deal, right? Shortly after we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, there was a lot of talk and hype around the celebration of St. Augustine's 450th birthday, because to North Americans of European descent, that's as old as it gets, right? But you see, in the Holy Land, that's just a drop in the bucket. And I remember gazing out at the remains of the Western Wall of King Solomon's Temple while our tour guide read these words of scripture from our gospel today. Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And to put this into context, we have to understand that the temple was central to all of Hebrew culture, its identity, its mission, and its ministry. In fact, it isn't overstating it to say that the temple was the very symbol of God's presence among his chosen people. And almost all Jerusalem was engaged in some kind of work that was connected to the temple. Craftsmen made and maintained all the necessary ritual objects. There were numerous incense makers and those who sold sacrificial animals, still countless others who provided lodging and additional provisions for pilgrims. And then, of course, all of this provided opportunity for bankers and currency changers. The temple stood as a type of architectural sacrament, testifying to the blessedness of God in and over an obedient people. It stood as a light to the nations, to those who were still in darkness, representing what life under the one God meant. And it stood as an icon of permanence. Nothing in Hebrew culture would have seemed more secure, dependable, or trustworthy. And yet, looking out over this impressive sight, Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left upon another, all will be thrown down." And by the way, some of these stones are the size of a bus. The natural follow-up question to a comment like that is, well, when is that going to happen? And the second part of our gospel lesson, like the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, is therefore all about the end times, what we often refer to as the final judgment, when God's justice is realized and Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. But we'll save all of that for Advent, which is just a couple of weeks away now. This morning, I'd like for us to briefly consider and reflect upon the temporary nature of our earthly existence, as depicted in what Jesus says in the first part of today's gospel. Because again, these words of Jesus about the temporary nature of the temple would have come as a great shock, because if anything was permanent, it was the temple of God. Perhaps our country's most significant encounter with the temporal nature of our earthly existence, despite all outward appearances, came on September 11, 2001. A number of years ago now, when there was a lot of media attention surrounding the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, I heard the account of a father who had actually visited New York City the week before the attack. He had taken his son to the U.S. Open tennis tournament. And because of the amount of time that they had spent at all of the tennis matches, they were simply unable to do many of the other things that they wanted to do when visiting New York City. And the father said that as the airplane circled around the city before heading south, his son pointed down toward the Twin Towers and said, "Dad, I really wanted to see those." To which the father replied, "Don't worry, son, we'll see those next time." You'd think so, but nothing is permanent. And I believe that amidst all of the feelings of anger and sadness that I experienced that day, they were all overshadowed by feelings of shock and disbelief. If that can happen, I remember thinking, then anything can happen. Interesting side note about that day, I was a young associate at St. Helena's in Beaufort at the time, with Frank Limehouse, who became dean and rector here after serving there. 9/11 was a Tuesday, and we were right in the middle of our weekly staff meetings when the receptionist ran in to tell us what was happening. Later that day, as we regathered and began to set our minds toward Sunday worship, we were reviewing the bulletins, which had already been prepared the day before, and Frank was the first to notice that the concluding hymn, again, that had already been chosen for that Sunday, was hymn 665, which we'll process out to today. "Mortal pride and earthly glory, sword and crown betray our trust, though with care and toil we build them, tower and temple fall to dust. But God's power, hour by hour, is my temple and my tower." And 9/11 woke our country up, didn't it? We came together and set aside our differences. We had a more appropriate appreciation for those who defend our civil liberties, who we recognize this past Tuesday on Veterans Day. And after 9/11 happened, we made resolutions as we mourned together over the realization that really nothing in this earthly existence is permanent. But then, gradually, things began to go back to the way they were. With the passing of time, we seemed to very naturally gravitate back toward the illusion of permanence until the next reminder comes, like a natural disaster, a fire, a tornado, or hurricane. The recent images of the devastation in Jamaica from Hurricane Melissa were just gut-wrenching. Those who lost loved ones or all of their possessions, and not just the stuff that's replaceable like clothes and cars, but things like photo albums, marriage certificates, things that you just know are going to outlive you. And the reality is that whether it's sudden or gradual, the reality is that everything associated with our earthly existence is temporary. This is what life teaches us. And the older we get, the more we come to accept this reality that the time will come when not one stone will be left upon another, all will be thrown down. Because ultimately, life really is a chronicle of loss. Or as someone at our Sunrise Center's Bible study on Thursday morning rephrased, a chronicle of letting go. By this I mean that at some point in life, at least in many respects, we begin to lose more than we gain. Now, I don't mean to sound depressing. I really don't. But it's true, isn't it? At some point, you begin to lose more than you gain. Take people, for example. Typically speaking, people in their 20s and 30s are adding children to their family, whereas people in their 40s and 50s are sending their children off to live on their own. Now, that isn't always the case, of course, but generally speaking, that's how it works. And our loved ones die, don't they? And it's usually in the second half of life. 50 and 60-year-olds typically attend more funerals than 20 and 30-year-olds. But either way, we're all heading toward a funeral. Because the truth of the matter is that our loved ones are going to die. And then there's personal health and hearing and hair even. I wasn't really just looking directly at you, Dino. The list of things that we lose as we get older goes on and on. Got an email this past week that said, I'm beginning to really understand the saying that getting old isn't for sissies. And it's true. After the 7:30 service, someone pulled me aside and said, yes, Tom, but unfortunately, we do gain weight. Now, in all of this, in addition to weight, we do gain wisdom. At least some do. Those who come to accept life on life's terms do become more patient and wise, but don't we all know people who never do accept life on life's terms? And for them, it's almost like frustration and depression are inevitable. But whether it's sudden, like the Twin Towers, or the burial of one too young to die, or gradual, like children leaving home or failing health in older age, either way, we learn everything associated in our earthly existence is temporary. If you haven't lost him or her or it yet, you will. The time will come when not one stone is left upon another. All will be thrown down. Now, is all of this depressing? Well, it's reality, isn't it? And if the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't speak to us in our reality, namely those places where we really hurt and struggle most, then it doesn't speak to us at all. And in the final analysis, this is actually precisely where the gospel speaks to us. Because as Christians, we have put our hope in the one who said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." There are a number of books in circulation that are personal accounts of those who have died but come back to describe what it was like. Proof of heaven, one man's personal account, was one that skyrocketed up the New York Times bestseller list. Not long before it was Heaven is for Real, a child's account that sold copies left and right. There have actually been a number of accounts over the years, and they always seem to do really well at the bookstore. Why? Because the world hungers for Christianity's greatest promise, redemption and restoration to new life. In that place where God's justice and mercy are realized, whereas Isaiah describes the wolf and the lamb, they graze together. Because in a changing world where things may be here today but gone tomorrow, in a world like that, I need something dependable that I can anchor my life into. I need the one who gives us an eternal hope. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.